sounds a little bit early, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, I never hear you clap anymore. I wonder if Audacity is, or I'm sorry, if Discord is censoring it out.
Censoring the claps?
It's censoring you.
Oh, fucking.
It's sick of your controversial opinions.
Cancel culture strikes again.
All right. I don't know. Censoring very loud voices maybe is not the worst idea.
No, that's probably a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
I think that means we're old. I think that means we're old, problematic centrists. You know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Nobody likes a centrist.
Most people do, actually. Just
yeah, you just never hear from them. That's the thing.
What is up, our friends from the internet? This is the Techie at Games podcast. I'm your host, Tony, here with my, what are you going to be? My loquacious co-host, Leo.
Ooh. Nice. Someone pulled out their thesaurus. I love it.
I just had to come up with a word, and that's the word that described you the most.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. How you doing today, Leo?
I'm good. It's been rainy all week. It's which actually, you know, I like. I moved to Oregon for that reason, but it's kind of a good excuse to stay inside and play games and hang out. And yeah, looking forward to chatting about this interesting week. How are you doing?
It's very dry in LA right now. It's El Nino right now, so we're getting no rain. We're actually like well behind our rainfall normal amount for the year. Last year it was dry too, and in March it all came back. I was reading a news article today about how dry our winter has been, and that they don't think we're gonna get saved in spring again. So very dry out here. That's for sure.
Y'all gotta come up here and try to steal our water.
I might, you know. We could take it. There's a lot of people in California. We could get all your water.
We got plenty. Yeah. I got a lake right out there. You can have as much of that as you want.
Yeah, I don't think I can even drink it all. You know, so yeah, so it's been a good week. A lot happened in the news, or at least a lot of announcements and stuff this week. So we have some good stuff to talk about. But before we get into all of that, Leo, what have you been playing this week?
I played a variety of games. The main two I kind of want to talk about is I finally got Mario, Super Mario 3D World, and Bowser's Fury for the Switch. It was quite late delivered, I think, because of all the storms and everything. So I didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. But I played the Wii U version a lot when it came out because, you know, it was one of the few games on the Wii U. And now they've essentially all been ported to the Switch. And it's great. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about the main Mario game, except that it's Mario and it's extremely ridiculously polished and very adorable and just really fun. I think this game in particular does a really exceptional job with the difficulty curve. It starts off so easy, but even that is fun because you're just running through the levels so fast that you're just making such fast progress. And by the time you notice that the difficulty curve is really sort of pushed up to a place where you're kind of dying a lot, you're really far into the game and it just feels so natural. It's so like frictionless, you know? And Nintendo's very good about that, but not always. And Mario in particular can sometimes suffer from difficulty spikes. But so far, I'm not at the end game where it gets really hard. But it's just, yeah, it's so easy to play. You just play it, you're like, whoa, one more world. And the way it's set up with, like, sort of the very small worlds just means it's just an excellent handheld game.
I was watching mostly Bowser's Fury stuff, right? And yeah. I thought that stuff was really cool. I don't know how much of that you've gotten into yet.
It is cool. I plan on beating this and then getting more into Bowser's Fury. I think I played, like, an hour. It is very cool. And it's an interesting package because this does feel very sort of new for Mario and experimental and very modern in a very kind of interesting way. It doesn't always work, but it's definitely risky. And I think it was actually really smart of them to bundle this very well-loved, very, very traditional, and I mean that complimentary, Mario game with something kind of edgy. And I don't mean edgy, like, tone-wise, but edgy in terms of experimentation. And the fact it doesn't always work, certainly I don't think it would have worked as a standalone release, but it's a really cool sort of glimpse into the future of what Mario could be. And in that way, I think it was a really smart move to be like, hey, how can we justify repackaging this old game and also sort of play with Mario in a new capacity without alienating people? And I think in that way, it was, very, very clever package and well worth the price of entry.
It's almost like a tech demo for like, what if Mario was in Breath of the Wild and like, let's make a small package of that and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And
it does feel kind of like a demo of a much bigger game almost, but a pretty you know, a pretty significant one. I think, I haven't put in much time, but from what I understand, it's a good, you know, 6-7 hours to get everything, which is not a big game by any means, but as a sort of a secondary experimental package, I think it definitely has some value.
Yeah, just this idea of, like, Kaiju Bowser looming over the map, and you're kind of working your way around trying to, like, get ready for the fight, and, you know, it really kind of has that feel to it, and I think the vibe's really cool. But yeah, as for the original game, I honestly have never played it, haven't spent much time with it other than what I've seen, and it looks cool. It looks, you know, I think the cat stuff's cool. Like, who doesn't love cats?
It's cute.
You know?
It's just extremely, it's just a really good Mario game, you know? Like, each level is very fun. There's unlockables, and the movement's great. The multiplayer is fun, except their netcode is just shit still.
Always
I don't
shit.
Know how much of it's my Switch's Wi-Fi chip, because I think I have the first generation, so it's just, like, my internet's pretty fast, or it's certainly sufficient. And I just always have lag. It's very frustrating. But I think that's the hardware's fault, not necessarily the game. But man, Nintendo's bad at online. But even with that, it is a fun multiplayer game. And it's a fun single-player game. And it's like, it's a very traditional Mario experience. And I say that in a complimentary way. Because traditional Mario experiences tend to be pretty good.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed.
Absolutely. And it is shocking. Nintendo Online's still so bad. I'm amazed I still pay for it. I do.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that it's so cheap.
I feel like
it's like $4 a month. You know, it's if it were any more than that, I would have canceled. It's one of those things where every time I get charged for it, I'm like, I should cancel that. And then I'm like, that's $4. And then occasionally I'll use it like 3 times a year when Animal Crossing, I get back in Animal Crossing or something like this. And then I'm like, well, but yeah, if it were any more expensive, it would be pretty intolerable. I think they hit the right price point.
I have some friends on my family plan, and like, that's the only reason I don't cancel it. So it's like, then I'm canceling everybody's. That seems kind of lame, right? Like,
talk about a downer.
That's a real dick move. I could like call everybody and be like, hey, just I wanted to give you guys a heads up. I canceled your Switch Online plan. I got to call my nephew and tell him, like, hey, you don't have Switch Online anymore.
You should wait till Christmas. Really fucking ruin his day.
Yeah, so it's like, I guess I'm stuck for life since I have all these people on my account.
Yeah, that's how they get you, right? I mean, if it was $10-$12, I would definitely be like, ew. But the fact it is relatively cheap. How much is the family plan? Is that more,
it's
or how does that work?
$30 a year or something. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Even then, it's like the price of one meal, basically. One good meal.
And I still have a lot of spots, right? So, even my nephew, I saw him, you know, a few months ago, and he was, I don't remember what he was playing, and I just asked my sister, I'm like, hey, can I just give him online, like, because he doesn't have it, and it's lame. Like, you know, he wanted to play Animal Crossing with my girlfriend, because they both had their Switches, and he couldn't, because he didn't have online. And I was like, can I just give him online? I've already paid for it, and then they can play Animal Crossing, and... And of course, she's like, well, is he going to be talking to strangers? And I'm just like,
you're like, no, he can't even talk to his friends.
Yeah, no, he
don't
can't,
worry.
Yeah, nothing bad could possibly happen because Switch
it
Online doesn't
it
work.
It barely works in the best of times. Yeah.
But,
I mean, I guess in Nintendo's defense, it would be pretty hard for like pedophiles to pick up kids on Nintendo Online because it barely works for like close friends. So I guess in that regard, they covered their bases. But if you have to like kneecap your service, for safety reasons, I don't think that's necessarily the best policy.
I mean, if you're if you get abducted on PlayStation, like, you kind of deserve it. All right, like, there's
I mean, I don't want to say you deserve it, but there's definitely like that. Yeah, I don't know, man. That'd be pretty challenging.
Yeah.
To abduct someone over PlayStation.
You got a private message.
People get doxxed and shit.
Yeah, if you got a private message from a COD lobby, right, and it's like, what's your address? You're really good at COD, like.
You know, I want to send you a cool COD award.
Yeah, like, that's on fucking you, man. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Well, and also, it is funny, like, Nintendo Online, it just should be free, right? Like, it's so piss poor, and it's so intrinsic. The only time you use it is basically for Animal Crossing, right? And I guess Smash, people play Smash, I don't. But really, it's so bare bones. And the fact that they're like, no, it's worth paying for because you get, like, a Super Nintendo emulator is really... pretty insulting almost.
I could see us going back to at least with Sony and Microsoft, like, online games being free, right?
Because
they're doing it with the free-to-play games, right? Like, Sony always did it. Microsoft's kind of getting back to that place, but I think both companies are realizing, like, the strength of their, you know, monthly offering isn't being able to play whatever, you know, especially for Sony, because their games aren't really like online games, right? Like, you're really paying for, like, COD. You're not paying for Sony's, like, first-party games as much. But, you know, the money's made in the free monthly games and additional services and, you know, like, kind of these type of things. And, you know, I just wouldn't be surprised if it's, like, you know, just fine. If you want to play Call of Duty with your friends, buy the game, and you can play it. But, you know, maybe the subscription offers, like, you know, whatever, in-game fucking COD bucks or something.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it a couple days ago, and I'm certainly not the first person to have this thought, but it was like, that was quite a move that Microsoft made when they started charging for Xbox Live on the original Xbox. Because as someone who wasn't a PC gamer at the time, or not like super into online culture, it seemed perfectly natural. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you're paying for this huge enhancement to your Halo experience. But it was like, in retrospect, I'm sure PC gamers are like, what the fuck? What do you mean? What do you mean you have to pay to play together on the internet? Like, that's absurd.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
The fact they had the balls to do that and it worked is actually kind of astonishing.
My brother,
and it set the precedent for the next like 20 years.
I made my brother pay for mine because I wouldn't pay for it because I played PC games and like, oh, we don't want to play. I'm like, I'm not buying it. So they paid for my live. It's just funny, but
it is funny. And it's just weird that like I didn't question it at the time, and the fact they did it all, and especially Microsoft, like, it's not like they didn't know how it all worked. They were like, yeah, we'll just make them pay for it, and we did. It's very weird, and that precedent is only now changing is actually pretty remarkable.
I will say, like, at least at that time, like, the one thing I think they had going for them was like voice chat wasn't free back then.
That's true.
You know,
that's a good
like
point.
Singular, like, as someone who during that time rented TeamSpeak servers and IRC servers, and, you know, like, because I
that's a very good point,
because I manage clans and other, you know, and PC games, and so, you know, you'd have to rent everything. You'd rent like a game server, you'd rent your voice chat server, you'd rent your chat server, you'd rent, you know, like, everything costs money.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I didn't even think about that.
And so, you know, in some ways I was used to paying for voice chat, you know, so it was like, okay, like, I kind of I pay for these things, but it still seemed exorbitant and not enough for what they were offering, right? Like,
it was pretty bare bones. I mean, again, it was the issue is that for console people, it was such a brave new world that anything seemed exciting, but totally from a PC perspective, I could see being like, what? Xbox Live is however much it was, and it barely does. It's very interesting. Definitely a scam. Definitely like kind of targeting console gamers as not as knowledgeable. You know what I mean? And, or like having lower expectations, being like, holy shit, I could play Halo 2 with a friend. That's incredible. Whereas PC gamers are like, what?
And it still works to this day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The other game, I feel like I've played some other stuff, but the other game I did want to talk to you about is I finally got on the Valheim train.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I played it, you know, it was $20 and it's everywhere right now. And you're, you know, hearing about it last week definitely sounded right in my alley. So I played it for a bit and it's a very interesting game. I was pretty disappointed in it overall, I would say. Just the lack of shit to do is pretty, it definitely, I'm not super familiar with early access games. That's sort of a world I've never really dived into in the way that you have. So my expectations were sort of tempered by that, like, understanding it's going to get bigger as time goes on. But I dropped in. I do really like the way it looks. I think the voxel sort of nature of it is actually quite nice. The music's pretty. They did some really cool stuff with lighting, and like that skybox is very cool with like Yggdrasil in the skybox. Mm-hmm. I really do like that. Like, it's fun to just run around and look. And there is something so compelling about procedurally generated worlds. Like, you really do feel like, what the hell's over that mountain? Nobody knows. You know, not, I can't look up a video online to see what's over this mountain. And there is something very cool about that. I think it hasn't quite reached its zenith in terms of pairing that with really interesting gameplay. But once it happens, that's going to be very cool. Because it'll be like, imagine an Assassin's Creed, but it's completely open-ended and actually works.
Yeah. I mean, how much, like, what did you do? I guess it's my question.
So I built a really shitty house, which was actually hilarious. I'll show you a picture of the house at some point. It's very funny. It's just so ugly. And the building is, as you said last week, pretty intolerable. Like, there's got to be a better way than the way they have it going. But yeah, I figured out the crafting stuff. I finally got around to getting a bow and started hunting deer. I got enough trophies to fight the first boss, but I haven't yet because I'm sure I'll get my ass kicked. I think you have to craft some armor, and I feel like I probably need some better weapons. But I had a fair amount of fun just running around, like, discovering ruins and, like, patching up other people's houses that existed before me that look a lot nicer than mine, and sort of, like, moving in there and making it nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I fought some enemies and really just kind of explored the world. And then what I did, which was I was sort of disengaged at this point, and I was kind of like, all right, I get it. Like, it's fun. But I wanted to see kind of what the end game looked like, so I did cheat just to see. And gave myself God mode, and then basically did the equivalent of the free build mode.
Which
is essentially just infinite resources.
Creative mode or whatever.
Yeah, and it's not the same as Minecraft, where it's really structured for that. It's definitely more like a debug mode, but it kind of gives insight into what the game is, you know, sort of capable of. And I know I certainly haven't seen everything, but even just seeing everything I could craft, I was like, oh, there's really not much here. Like, you can't build a cool-ass giant castle, really.
No, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure smart, creative people will, certainly, in that, you know, they'll do all kinds of cool shit if you give them the right tools, but it's not like, I don't know. It felt like, oh, okay, that's it. Like, I'm glad I didn't spend 50 hours trying to get to the point where I can build a stone block. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, I think the loop of that game, and, you know, a lot like, well, Minecraft not as much, because it's not as much of a survival game, right? Survival is kind of a given in Minecraft.
Yeah.
And this game as well, right? Like, you don't die from starvation, but you're pretty useless if you're hungry.
But you could die from falling from 2 feet in the air, which is very funny.
I've had issues with falling damage, but I would assume it is. I mean, you can die from anything else, like cutting down a tree and having it fall
that,
on you.
The first time that happened made me laugh so hard. I mean, it kind of sucked, but it made me laugh so hard when I cut down a tree and then it just fell on me and crushed me. I was like, yeah, that's fair. I can't get mad about that.
The one that got me is I went AFK, like, in my house, right? And I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
And I came back and I died from smoke inhalation.
I mean, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like that.
Because there wasn't, like, a vent in my roof or anything, right? It was just, like, my house was sealed. And
that's funny. That'll do it.
The smoke murdered me.
I got out of bed once, and my first house was so small, right? Because I didn't know what I was doing. So I had a fire next to the bed, because you have to have a fire, which obviously you don't do in real life. But it was funny, because as soon as I got out of bed, I was just in the fire and on fire. I was like, wow, what a way to start the morning. Just burning my feet. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my beef with that game, because I played a shitload of Valheim this week, too. Like, I've been playing it a lot more. And I am, like, kind of hooked on it in a way. My biggest problem with that game is, like, the nature of, like, building and leveling ground and stuff. Like, it's
intolerable, I think.
You start to see there is a method to that madness, like, to the way it's set up. The problem is it's just not very clear. Like, you know, like in Minecraft or whatever, like, it's so clear, like, what one block of height is, right? And how to, like, even two blocks of height and just, you know, stick things to the sides and now it's a roof, right? Like, it's not,
exactly.
There's no,
you don't need to worry about angles.
Yeah. There's no, like, finesse to it at all. Where in this game, like, the ground level is kind of arbitrary, right? Like, so you're trying to, eventually you'll get like a hoe or whatever. And so you're trying to, like, make the ground even and, yeah, like, that whole
terraforming.
Yeah. That whole process just seems fucking strange. Like, until you figure it out, it seems like, how am I ever going to make this even? And even like building roofs took me such a long time to realize, same, like, oh, this isn't hard. You just have to do it a very specific way, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned that actually by looking at the broken down houses and realizing, like, oh, they just build two triangle, like, of these two triangle pieces on the side, then just line it with roof. They don't, like, build a roof around all the sides, you know? Roofs are always two-sided, not four-sided, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, now that's kind of easier, right? Like, that makes this easy to do in a way. If I want, like, a 2x8 house, like, I can do that pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But, like, you know, once you get into, like, harder stuff, like, once you get past it, because, you know, the meadow, like, the initial starting area, and, like, the deer boss and everything pre-deer boss is really easy. Like, you're never really in danger, right? Like,
Yeah, you're not going to be killed by an enemy. You're really only in danger by, like, mechanical danger of not understanding the system.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like having a tree fall on your head or dying of smoke inhalation. And that part is very fun, I think. Like, I think that part's fun, too.
It's
very entertaining and, like, yeah, it's just cool.
Yeah, but so that's your time to, like, tool around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now that I'm a little past that, like, I'm basically at the second boss and I haven't fought him yet because I know he'll murder me. But, like... Yeah. So I'm collecting ore and stuff, and it's tedious. Like, it's time consuming, but, you know, I got to the point where it's like, all right, I need to build a boat so I can, so I can move along the outskirts of these areas, like, and like just kind of make little journeys into mine and then go back out through the ocean.
Like a Viking.
Like a Viking, right? So I don't have to cross land all the time, right? Cause like land is dangerous. Land is time consuming, like, you know, I'm exhausted half the time, it's raining, like my guy is like not regenerating health, you know, and so like getting to that tier and being like, okay, now I know what I need, I know what I need to build next, I know what I'm going for, like once you kind of get into that loop and start getting like pulled by the crafting tiers and what's next, and you know there's trolls all over the place and you're just like, all right, there's like so many areas I can't go to yet because these trolls just fucking a troll came to my house, hit it once, took all the like all the walls to half health and destroyed everything inside in one swing. And I was just like, I was just like, shit, like, you know,
well, it's not easy in Valheim for a Viking.
It's not easy, man. you know, I finally went into some little dungeons and stuff, like, you know, there's a lot more to do and explore now. I'm like, now I just want like a big boat, you know, I'm like, I need like a fucking fuck this raft. Like, I need a real boat, you know?
Yeah.
And that, like, that loop to me is very engaging and exciting.
I think that makes sense. I think, and again, I've probably only put in like 4 hours. And again, I was sort of viewing it as the sandbox. Just, I guess just, that's just kind of what I want out of it. But it sounds like if you play it as a straight survival game, then that might be, maybe that's more in line with the expectations of the developer. Maybe that's more the loop they wanted to encourage. Which actually does sound cool. Like, instead of treating it as a build a castle, treat it as like, no, you're trying to survive and slowly, yeah, just basically trying to live off the land, which is a very different experience, but that does sound, I could see how that could be compelling.
And it is sandboxy in a sense in that way. Like, you know, like, did you know that you can, you can capture the pigs and make them mate and then have a pig farm?
I've heard
farm,
that, but
right? Like,
yeah, that's funny.
Like, that kind of stuff is available in a, like, in a weird way.
Yeah,
and it is fun in that sense, but yeah, I mean, it is a lot more linear as far as progression than I maybe expected, or you know, than you might think looking at it and kind of making parallels to games like Minecraft or whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, which again I think was very intentional and it helps set it apart in a cool way. I have a strong sense. I'm glad I bought it. I have a strong sense that I'll probably hop back in. In a few months, maybe, or you know, I have a feeling this will be a game that pops up every once in a while with like, hey, new content update when that actually means something. And I'm excited to explore it more. I think I kind of, it wasn't quite what I was looking for in this moment, but I don't think that's a fault of the game necessarily as much as my expectation.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing, it did make me very excited for the Storm, or the Final Fantasy 14, like, Stardew Valley mode they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I the only other game I played a lot this week was I played quite a lot of Shadowbringers, and I'm really enjoying it. I don't have a whole lot to add that I didn't say last week other than, you know, it's just so fun exploring new zones and hearing the weird music, and like, I just haven't been this engaged with the story in a long time, and I'm having just a blast just slowly working through, and yeah, it's just great. It's a great game. I don't have a whole lot to add except just having a blast working through it. And I am looking forward to the idea of a, yeah, like kind of a chill farm mode. Sounds like a really cool addition to this game.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. So what else did you get to play this week?
Yeah, that was mostly it. Just a lot of Shadowbringers, a lot of Mario, and then some Valheim. Yeah, and I'll keep playing all those games, so I'll report back next week. But in the meantime, I'd like to hear what you played other than Valheim, unless you have more to say about that, of course.
I play a lot of Valheim. I got a lot more to say. No, I think we basically covered it. You know, I think it's good. I think it definitely has its pain points.
Well, sure.
But it's very engaging in that sense, especially just, yeah, like once that loop got a hold of me, I was, and kind of once I got once I understood some more things about kind of how it works and like different weapons for different enemies.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty significant learning curve, which again is not a criticism, but it is something to know going in. It's not like,
yeah, there's a lot more.
It's like the opposite of Mario.
There's a lot more depth to it, right? It's not.
Yeah, and it does not hold your hand.
No,
at all.
So I've had a lot of fun with that. I'm curious how far you've gotten in Shadowbringers.
So I just got to the second. Well, I think there you could do them in different orders, but I did the Alice stuff, and she's back with at the Crystarium, and now I'm working through the Alphanode thing where, and I just got to like that crazy rich city with all the like weird decadent people. Okay. Who just like,
so now you're getting to Yulemore, right? Like,
yeah, and I just got into like that city.
Okay, that's,
and it's very weird and very cool. All
right, that's kind of the like the kicking off point. Have you fought the what do they call them, the angel things yet?
Oh yeah, the Sin Eaters. I saw that first one where that lady turned into one, and it was quite disturbing.
Yeah,
I was like, Jesus Christ, what? it's cool. I mean, it's not like a horror game, but it definitely was like tonally quite a shift from what I was used to.
Yeah, that was a moment for me when I was like, man, this shit is different. You know, like,
yeah, exactly. When the fucking, it definitely has a different vibe.
When the ooze is coming out of her eyes, I'm like,
and her mouth gets all huge. Yeah. That was the scariest part.
I'm like, well, this ain't fucking Stormblood anymore.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We're in a whole different realm. But yeah, all right,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's so fun. I think it's yeah, it's really good. I love the story too. I think it's just so good.
And I'm actually excited to do the first dungeon. I haven't done a dungeon yet because, from what I understand, I can run it with AI, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of cool. I'm really looking forward to just being able to play it at my leisure instead of having to worry about, you know, keeping other people alive. I can really just, and you know what else? Not to keep going on about this, but this is something I thought about and something I'm really looking forward to is. The dungeons are so beautiful in that game, like visually, and you can't look at them when you're playing through them. And it's really like it's such a waste on the part of the artist. And I'm really looking forward to just running through them and actually being able to look around and not having to worry about getting yelled at or letting my people die. And I'm just really excited about that part of it. I think that'll make it much more in line with the way I like to play the rest of the game, which is very slow paced.
Yeah, it
and,
is.
Yeah.
It is funny, like, sometimes when I'm looking up music or something, and the YouTube is, like, from, like, a fate or a dungeon or whatever, and you're like, oh, like, now that I can just sort of look around while someone else does this, I'm like, this is pretty amazing, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Because when you're in it, yeah, you're so, like, focused on, like, all right, what's the next
bowl? Yeah, you're
what's
just looking at numbers and colors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's exciting. What else did I play? I played a lot of Apex Legends, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, for some reason this season's really got a hold on me. I think also it's kind of I'm not finding a lot of stuff I want to play. And so it's like a really easy thing for me to fall back to is to play that. But I do
you must be pretty good at that game by this point. You've played a lot of it.
I'm okay. Like, I wouldn't say I'm bad, but I wouldn't say I'm good. I'm, you know, I think that's the one game that like really shows me like how old I am, you know, because like, I'm just not fast. You know, like, the way I move and the way I aim, it's just, like, I kind of have to outthink people to outgun them because I'm not, like, twitchy. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel it in that game more than any other game. Like, in Overwatch, I never felt that way. I always felt like I could outshoot people in Overwatch.
Yeah, and also you can just play, you know, depending on who you're playing. Yeah.
But in Overwatch, I was always, like, McCree, right? Like, I was always, like, a twitch headshot shooter. And it seemed okay, where in Apex, it just doesn't work at all for me, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah. And maybe it's just because Overwatch was a few years ago, and I am...
and your cognitive decline is
rapidly declining.
Really accelerated.
But yeah, I definitely feel it in that game. But yeah, I've been liking the season. Yeah, and I don't know, I just... I think some of the modes are, you know, fun, or at least play well. I just really wish there were solos. That's still my biggest beef in that game. Is that like...
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they haven't implemented that yet.
And especially if there's just so many missions, right, that are just like, oh, go do this thing, and then you drop in with a group, and it's like, I don't want to just leave and be like, hey, I'm going to go do this thing, you know, like, because that's a real dick move. I also don't want to have to try and convince them to do the thing I need for my mission, you know?
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of caught in this limbo of like, well, if I don't have three people, like, can I even complete this? You know,
like, yeah, that's how it's like the dungeons in Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same thing of like, it'd be cool to just be able to engage,
and,
without having to worry about other people.
And think about, what if the dungeon was like, oh, do this whole part without using tank stance. And then you're
fuck that.
Okay, I guess I'll try it. But if we wipe, everyone's going to be mad at me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right? Totally.
It's like, oh, use this bad gun to get kills today. And then you're just using a bad gun. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing? And you're like, I'm doing a mission. Sucks to be you guys, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Sorry.
Yeah, it feels bad.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's like, if it was solos, you could just try and who cares, right? Like if, like you said, when you can run dungeons with your fate group, it's, you know, it's easier. Or your trust group, excuse me. It's easier to kind of do what you want in that dungeon.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I've been playing some Apex, doing that thing. And then what else have I been playing? I did some VR chat this week a couple times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I've just been like trying to use my headset more lately. And so, but I haven't really been that interested in playing a lot of games in it. Yeah. I played a couple. I played some of that Population One, which is still pretty good. And, I tried War Thunder in VR. I don't know if you've ever played that game. It's like
a tank game.
It's airplanes, but it has tanks now. And that shit sucked in VR. It's not good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like they stretched out the HUD, like if you're doing multi-monitor, you know?
Because
like parts of your HUD that you normally would have on your screen are like off behind you to the left. And it's like, oh, it's because it just thinks you're at a crazy resolution and it just is wrapping things around behind you.
There's a little more to it than that.
Yeah.
To make a compelling VR experience.
Yeah. But so I played some VR chat and that shit is so weird, man. Like,
it is very weird.
Like, it's just you have such disparate experiences, you know? Like, the first night I played it, I just, like, saw a group of people, and we just started talking about avatars for, like, an hour, you know? We were just, like, sharing different ones, and we were, like, you know, this one guy was like, oh, here, copy this one, and it was, like, a Master Chief one, and it had, like, all the guns and the beam sword, and you could, like, shoot all the guns, and I was like, I didn't even know they could do this in this game. Like, it's crazy, you know? And then... Yeah. And then the next day I'm in a chat or I'm in a room and it's literally like 10 dudes watching a girl play Twister. And I'm just like, this is fucking weird, but I'm also one of these dudes, you know, like I'm here as well. So like, I guess I can't judge, right? Like, but this is so strange. I don't know how I feel about this. This is very uncomfortable. You know, that's what VR chat. I mean, that's what's so interesting about it too, right? Is it's such a strange, like, I don't know, surreal look at, you know, human interaction. Right.
Absolutely. That, I think we talked about this when we were both doing it a lot. It is very human. It's like a very, like, you want to learn about humanity, check this shit out. And it's through this weird veneer of like, technology, but that only helps to enhance the sort of insanity of it. But I do think when you go in there, it's like, this is the human experience, both positive and negative, in a very interesting way and in a safe space. But I always think about like if aliens came and they're like, what is your deal, humans? I'd be like, check this out. This will give you a pretty profound insight into like the human psyche, I think.
You know, it's funny. Like we talked a little bit before the show, we were talking about like, you know, the internet and old school internet and how it was kind of this cathartic space for people and how that's kind of vanished as people have kind of seen legitimacy in the internet and now see it as like this real space and kind of punished catharsis, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like VR chat is kind of that cathartic space, you know, where
it's the new internet.
Where like the old internet, it's like, hey dudes, you all want to masturbate to this thing? You know? And you're like, I guess, you know, like
I guess so.
Because that's kind of what forums used to be, right? Because like, you know, porn was available. It's like, here's the porn we could all watch, or here's a song we could all listen to, or here's a, you know, but it's I use porn because it's a funny example, but it's kind of like those experiences you might not have with people in the real world or whatever, but it's like, hey, let's all do this, here's a copy of a game or a whatever, right? Like that kind of strange anonymous interaction that you only get in these kind of spaces, right?
But it also brings, more so than those forums, it brings in a level of like, this is how I choose to present myself.
Yeah.
And again, and I don't think you should ever take it seriously in there, but there is something to be said about like these insane avatars. Like you choose one for a reason, whether it's because you think it's funny or scary or sexy or whatever it is, that is how you're choosing to present yourself, even if it's ironic or whatever it is. And that means something, you know what I mean? And that adds a level of human nature to it that I mean, I know on forums you could have like pictures or whatever, but You know what I mean? It adds a whole nother element of customization of like the body that only further enhances the anonymity and also like just, yeah, makes it even more insight into the human brain.
Yeah, I'm surprised and not surprised how like just oversexed all the avatars are. You know,
yeah, exactly. It's like, of course they are.
Yeah, of course. But it's also at the same time, it's like, of course they exist. Of course people use them. I'm surprised everybody uses them. You know, like,
yeah.
I would think they're like, you know, usually I like to be an animal, like a cat or something, right? Like, because I just think that's kind of cute. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's kind of funny. But, you know, it's just like, all right, this person's like a succubus and this person's a girl in a bikini and this person's like a really pretty guy with no shirt or, you know, like it's all these like,
and there's Master Chief.
Yeah. And there's Master Chief. It makes it a lot of young people. Right. And they, you know, they have a lot of like sexuality and fantasies and curiosities about sexuality. And, you know, so I get that, but, you know, it's surprising to me just the volume of that, you know, in that place. But
yeah, it's just, yeah, it's like the internet personified, or not personified, but the internet like really distilled down in a pretty like, it's like pure internet right now, which is pretty intense to be around, both fun and can be pretty, yeah, just an emotional roller coaster being in VR chat.
Yeah, I'm also,
but it's definitely worth experiencing.
I'm also
for
surprised
sure.
how much erotic role play there is. I didn't get, I haven't like seen it myself, but.
Yeah,
a lot of it exists. I saw a video about it and they were talking about it, and it's just like, I didn't realize it was a thing until I saw the video. And then when I was in some of these like rooms, like you would realize like, oh, there's like back areas where you can like lock the door, you know, and like have private spaces. And it's like, oh, that's like, that's what these are, right? Like, this is like erotic role play areas. And
that's funny.
Yeah.
But again, like none of that's not new either. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying you're saying it's new, but it, again, it's sort of like this continuation of human nature, right? Like you always think about the Romans and like these open forums of, you know, philosophy and salons and these gatherings of great minds, but you know, behind all of that, that facade and veneer of like, erudition and like high-minded collaboration, they're all fucking, you know what I mean? There's always that closed door anytime there's a human gathering. And, so I'm not at all surprised that really, and this does contribute itself so well to that because of the anonymity and because of the way you can present yourself however you want. Yeah, that's definitely, it's just such a huge part of the human brain. I'm not at all surprised that it's overrepresented.
Yeah, pretty much anytime you can close a door, people will touch their privates behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, well know? Said. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
From the invention of the door.
Yeah.
And I probably mean, before.
Yeah, pre-door, they just had like a leaf
yeah,
or something,
a fuck,
or a tree to move behind. But
a rock.
A rock, yeah. I mean, you see it in kids, too. Like, you know, not to be weird, but, you know, kind of primitively, I think we're just kind of drawn to, like, touch our genitalia.
Yeah, what's going on down here?
Yeah,
of course.
Like, it's always the most uncomfortable thing when you're around someone that has, like, a six-year-old. And it's like, could you please tell your kid to stop touching their genitals like in front of everyone, you know? And they're like,
yeah,
it's
yeah, totally. It's like no, kid, I get it, but like you just don't understand. This is not the place, man.
Yeah, go upstairs and do it, right? There's what you can do.
Yeah, like an adult.
Yeah, fucking A. So yeah, VR chat is like that.
It is. It really is. But again, it's pretty weird and fucking out there, and I don't think it's for everyone, but it's absolutely worth trying if you can, just because of the insanity of it.
Yeah, it's so voyeuristic too. It's so fun, right?
Yeah.
It's so weird. I mean, not to
it's
like
great for people watching.
Not to belabor like it, watching. But it's just so weird to like enter a place and there's, you know, 15 people talking and you're just standing there watching them talk.
Yep.
You know, and they're just like, whatever, you know, because that's what this space is.
Yep.
But you're just this fucking weirdo, like just watching. Yeah. You know, like
it gives lurking a whole new meaning.
Yeah, just lurking around.
Like, well, it's great.
No one's
it's
gonna talk
awesome.
To me, so I guess I'll just listen. You
know? Yeah, and like, and people's bodies are just like changing constantly, and like someone will become a giant chili pepper suddenly, and then someone else will turn into like a sexy cat, and then like it's just while you're watching, it's just this barrage of insanity. It's very crazy.
It's very crazy. All right, let's get on to the news after a quick little break. Leo, did you get a chance to jump into VR chat during the break?
No, but I was kind of thinking, I wonder if they'll add VR to Valheim.
I hope so. I hope you can lock the door and have a little.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's time. Doors. There's doors in there. You know.
There's plenty of doors, and you know what doors mean.
You gotta build them, but they will come.
Yeah. So did you? What did you do during the break? Did you watch this new trailer for this hot new movie coming out here?
I didn't watch it this time, but I did watch it as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, and I was excited because you know you and I have watched a lot of video game movies and talked about them, and it's rare I get excited about it, but I was pretty excited about this one. What did you think?
I was pretty excited too. I watched it as soon as it came out as well, and I will say, like, my one word synopsis is this looks pretty good. This looks pretty
good. I think we should, or at least I personally feel like I should qualify by saying, like, it looks pretty good for Mortal Kombat, right? Like, I think if it wasn't Mortal Kombat and it wasn't like I didn't know what Mortal Kombat was, I'd be like, what the hell? It looks really silly, right? But it's supposed to be silly. And that's the thing I feel like a lot of people miss out about Mortal Kombat is it's intentionally tongue-in-cheek. Like, it's extremely dark and violent, and there's a lot of lore. And I think it takes itself seriously as a video game, for sure. And rightfully so, I think, especially newer entries. But it's always known how absurd it is. And that's why I think the first Mortal Kombat movie really has aged a lot better than a lot of movies, because it's so campy and they really lean into that. And it looks to me from this like they're going to do that as well. And I think that's a critical component. If it was trying too hard to be grimdark, despite the fact that it's a very grim and dark franchise, I don't think it would work. But I got a sense, and I'm hoping, that they're going to have fun with it, because I think that is such a critical component.
Yeah, from the trailer, it looks like the kind of stupid shit I would watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well said. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, Mortal Kombat should be extremely violent, which this is rated R, so I'm excited for that. And it should have sick fight scenes, right? Mm-hmm. And this looks like they're pretty good. And that's really it, right? And pretty good special effects would be nice.
Yeah.
That's really all you need.
I'd love me some dumb movies. And yeah. This looks like the kind of dumb movie I would be into. It's got ninjas,
yeah,
it's got, you know, magical powers, it's got, yeah, a lot of fighting. So, you know, with or without Mortal Kombat, like, I probably would have watched this anyway. So
yeah,
I'm pumped for it. I thought it looked cool. I thought the trailer was good. I thought it was good and gory, you know, like in a, yeah, silly kind of way. When, yeah, Sub-Zero gets jacked by the arms, man,
it's, yeah, that was great.
It's great. You never saw it coming, man. It was like the Phantom Thieves move.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. And I did like how they kind of just were like, yeah, this is all the cool shit that's going to be in here. And they're like, wow, this plot synopsis sounds fucking really dumb. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how it works.
Who fucking cares? It's Mortal Kombat. It's supposed to be kind of dumb. Like, I'd almost be disappointed if it wasn't sort of dumb.
I was very surprised the main character isn't Johnny Cage, though.
Well, we'll see. They're going to, you know, there's going to be something going on with that.
You think that's going to be
Luke Kang's not in it either, but you know they're going to bring Luke Kang in, right? I mean, you saw his fucking fire dragon. So we'll see.
You think he's going to change his name to Johnny Cage for the movie or something?
Probably.
You know, like
something along those lines.
That's his screen name or whatever, his stage name.
It's his VR chat moniker.
He's going to fucking sign up for SAG.
And like, yeah, and he'll put on sunglasses in the last scene or something. Yeah. You know he's going to.
Yeah.
And then my only real big question is, are they going to use the Mortal Kombat theme in some capacity? I mean, they have to, right? That is so iconic. Yeah. So everyone thinks of whenever they think of that franchise, for better or worse.
Yeah, and they need the Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. Like, they have to put that in somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, is Ed Boon going to do voice work for this movie?
Actually does all the ADR for every character.
I hope so. my only question is, where's Chun-Li? Right?
Yeah, where is Chun-Li? Well, here, go ahead. Maybe you could give a little bit of background.
Yeah, that's just kind of an inside joke. There was a Polygon story this week that said, where's Chun-Li in the Mortal Kombat trailer? Like, it was some kind of, I don't know if it was like being implied it was some kind of sexist omission or just, you know, an omission of one of the best characters, but, yeah, I'm not sure if it was stupid or if it was, like, ironic or, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
My thought, though, when people were talking about that is I thought it'd be so hilarious. I'm not saying this is the case, but I thought it'd be so hilarious to make a character who just wants Chun-Li in everything.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's just because it's Mortal Kombat. They're like, no, I want Chun-Li in every fucking movie, including this one. They're like, I know she's not a main character. Like, I just love Chun-Li. She should be in everything all the time. Every TV show, every fucking video game, everything.
Yeah, if I was that author, I would have made a Twitter throwaway account, right, when people noticed saying, called Where's Chun-Li?
I just watched Schindler's List and like, there's a serious glaring omission.
Yeah. Where's Chun-Li in WandaVision? I haven't seen her yet.
exactly.
Yeah. Kind of dumb. Even if it was a joke, it was dumb because it just makes you look dumb. But
yeah, it's a little too ironic. If it was ironic, otherwise, I have no idea what happened. Like, how is that even? There's something going on there. It'd be interesting to read the story about how this story came out more than anything. But
yeah, it's just a level of people that have hot takes on the internet. People that we elevate their takes on the internet aren't always deserving of that elevation.
Yeah, believe me, I know. As someone who has put their opinion on the internet, I'm pretty sure that can be applied to me as well. But all that to say, like, that movie, I have high hopes for it. And the fact that I don't have to go to a movie theater, can just watch it on my TV, I think will only help.
I have low expectations.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm excited about.
I have high hopes, but low expectations, if that makes sense. Like, I have high hopes that it is a movie that achieves my low expectations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I have very specific expectations for the movie, and they're not, I don't expect it to be good, but I expect it to be a good Mortal Kombat movie, like the first one is.
Yeah, I agree. I expect it to be dumb, and that's all I want.
Yeah, for sure. Mortal Kombat's very dumb.
Yeah, I think the only sin it could have is trying to, like, take itself too seriously, right?
Or just have shitty fight scenes. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if the fight scenes suck, then that would be terrible.
I mean, I hope it does the Mortal Kombat thing of taking itself entirely seriously.
Yeah.
But being self-aware enough that they can do it in a funny way. You know?
Exactly. Right? Like, the characters should not be goofing around, but the actors should, if that makes sense. Like, they should be in on the joke, but the character shouldn't be.
Yeah, and the world should be, like, the world should be ridiculous, right?
Yeah, it should be incredibly dark and grim to the point of absolute absurdity. And I think they're going to nail that.
I think so, too. And I think that, you know, we're in a space now where people are kind of good at that, you know, like, we have enough examples of these types of things, and especially with that franchise and where the games are at, that it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I think they know what they need to do.
You're right. And I also think we're finally getting to the point where a video game movie can be a video game movie, which sounds weird, but like, we haven't actually gotten to that point. Like, even in the 90s, I think Mortal Kombat worked because it knew what it was. But people were still like, this is dumb. Whereas now, I think there's so many gamers, and Mortal Kombat and other franchises are so huge that they can make a movie just for fans and not try and impress other moviegoers, and it can actually work in a way that was not true even probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, probably not even 5 years ago could they really get away with that, at least as far as financing a movie, right? Like,
exactly. And now they can be like, no, this is a video game movie for video game fans only, and it can be good by that metric instead of trying to be a good traditional movie. Not to say you can't make a good traditional movie based on games, but I think you see what I mean.
Yeah, we can use $40 million of Chinese money and make a movie about a video game.
Yeah, that people will like.
Yeah, people will like. Yeah. All right, a couple other things happened this week. Some announcements. So BlizzCon kicked off on Friday, right? I don't know if it's actually still going on. We might be missing some announcements. This is all.
I think there is another day, but I don't know when it is either.
This is all the opening ceremony stuff. Did you see the thing about Twitch and Metallica for BlizzCon?
No, I briefly tuned in from time to time. I have a friend who's really huge Blizzard fan, so he was kind of keeping me posted on everything while it was happening, so I didn't need to watch it. But I did at one point look over and Metallica was playing, which I was surprised by, but that's all I know.
Yeah, so Metallica played a concert for BlizzCon, and Twitch wouldn't play the audio for the concert. They dubbed it over with, like
with what?
With whatever, like, you know... license-free music or music that they have licensed. That's like,
what?
Yeah, like shitty little like do 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 music. You know, they wouldn't play the Metallica music. Fucking
crazy that Metallica was playing.
Yeah, because of DMCA
in their garage.
Yeah, which is so.
That's incredible.
It's so full circle, right? Because DMCA
so stupid.
Really is Metallica's thing.
Yeah, you're right. You know? They censored themselves. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. That's beautiful, actually.
So they created this fucking monster. And then sicked it on the world.
Censored themselves.
And then they tried to play
it.
Yeah, I thought it was fucking so ironic and so interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a very modern story. I love that.
So here's what Nathan Grayson said they released at BlizzCon so far.
Yeah.
I don't really know specifics. I didn't watch any of it. So Blizzard's remaking Diablo 2. That's not a surprise.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that, but go ahead. It'd be fun to list off the rest of it first.
The Rogue class is coming to Diablo 4.
Yeah, there was a cool, pretty cool trailer. A
trailer. I mean, it's weird to announce, like, this class is coming to a game that's coming eventually. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed. It is very, it's like they got a little ahead of themselves, but it, you know, it was still a fun trailer.
I would rather hear more about Diablo 4 before I know what the characters are.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft Shadowlands is the first major update. It's called Chains of Domination.
Yeah, that's cool if you're feel like WoW.
Yeah, I think you get to fight Sylvanas is the thing I saw people excited about because everyone wants to fight Sylvanas. The Burning Crusade expansion is coming to WoW Classic. That's actually pretty cool. Like, that kind of makes me want to play WoW Classic again because Burning Crusade's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hearthstone new expansion called Forged in the Barrens. I mean, does people really care about?
Yeah, a lot of people play Hearthstone, but I don't.
A lot of people play Hearthstone, but the expansion seems so consistent that it's just like, here's another one, here's another one. The Blizzard Arcade Collection is out now on PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. That's like early Blizzard games. Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, Blackthorn.
Blackthorn's cool. That's the only one of those I care about. I don't care enough to get it because there's a million ways you can play Blackthorn, but that game is fucking cool.
And that's it, plus Metallica. So
yeah, and then there was a bunch of Overwatch stuff.
Oh, that was not in the opening ceremony, so I did not have it here.
Fair enough.
I'll look it up while you talk about Diablo 2.
Yeah, the main thing for me was, I mean, it's funny, I play a lot of Overwatch, but for some reason I just don't give a shit about Overwatch 2. I'm not sure why. I really don't. It's kind of reminds me of like the way you talk about Apex almost. Like, I like Overwatch a lot and I play it a lot with friends and it's a big part of my life, but I almost don't like it that much as an actual game. It's very weird. So my relationship with Overwatch 2 is like, I don't care at all, even though I play Overwatch probably more than any other game regularly. It's very strange. But the Diablo 2 thing I think is interesting because, yes, you're right. It is not a surprise at all. We all kind of knew it was coming. But what I was surprised about was how excited I got afterwards. Because we talked about this. We've been talking about this for a while, how we're both quite incredulous of Blizzard Activision at this point, and I think rightfully so. They've really dropped the ball in a lot of ways. And I think this whole BlizzCon kind of highlighted some of my fundamental issues with the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I was excited about Diablo 2 was, A, it looks cool, and they convinced me with, and they tried really hard, and rightfully so after the absolute, no pun intended, but cataclysm that was Reforged. You could tell they really were like, we cannot do that again. But the team, the way they were talking about, like, we took the original art incredibly seriously. Like, that was priority number one, was not to make a new game, but to make the exact same game in 3D. And the fact that all of the original stuff, whatever this means, I'm not exactly sure, but it's kind of running underneath it. And it really is like, I don't know. They spent a lot of time trying to convince me, and then by the end, I was convinced that they love Diablo 2 deeply, and they're really doing their best to make the exact same game just run on modern systems. And it looks cool. Like, I love the idea of added zoom, and I thought the art direction is so much cooler than Diablo 3's, which was sort of leaning into that more WoW kind of vibe. It kind of looks like, you know, the way a remake's supposed to be, like, this is how you remembered it looking. I kind of got that vibe from it, and I'm genuinely excited. It was cool to see all that art again. It made me realize how much more I like Diablo 2 than Diablo 3, despite its age. Just the vibe of it, and the tone, and the the setting. I really like that game, and I did get the sense that they also really like it, and I'm actually pretty excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what it turns into. You know, I mean, part of me in a sense is like, I really like how Diablo 2 looks. You know,
I do too. And apparently you can use that as well, which, again, I always appreciate that.
But if you're going to use that, why not just play Diablo 2? Like, we all own it. You know what I mean? Like at some level, it's like, at some level, I kind of hope that they'll do something more interesting, you know, in a remake, but still kind of capture the right essence, like what they did with Resident Evil. You know, I think like what was so good about that is that it was a new game that was interesting and cool, but somehow managed to capture that vibe in such a perfect way that it, like, it was a new experience. Like, even if you play the game, even if you were intimately familiar with it and loved the original, like, this still offered something new to experience where, you know, I feel like updating the graphics in a game that I think visually is great, you know, and then asking people for $40 or whatever to do it.
That I do take issue with. The price is, does seem very high.
It's a bit, yeah, I think that's just a bit problematic, you know.
Especially because you can still buy and play the original. And that's the other issue is, like, if they do take it down, Reforged style, I think that would be
and won't they kind of mistake. That's what I mean. Like, if it's just a graphical update, won't they kind of have to, you know?
Like, I don't know. I do think they're going to be extraordinarily cautious this time around, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I suspect they'd be fools not to really tread lightly here. And I do hear what you're saying about, like, if it's just... And it sounds like it is, right? Their whole thing is it's not a remake. It is a remaster. It's just, like, an insane remaster. But it's not a remake at all. It's, like, the exact same game. Which is with a graphical upgrade. And I'm sure, you know, some improvements in the UI. But that's the part I don't think we know that much about is, like... what those improvements mean, because that could dramatically change the game for the better or for the worse or just make it feel different. But I think in a perfect world, it would take, you know, the cool stuff about Diablo 3 and the cool stuff about Diablo 2 and then whatever Diablo 4 is and, like, combine all that in a really potent cocktail. I think that could be very powerful and very interesting. $40 seems high, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. And I think that's a lot of it, too, like, I think that's an issue with Blizzard as a whole right now is there's a lot of stuff that's like coming, but it's like, what is it? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the thing with Overwatch 2, right?
And Diablo 4.
And Diablo 4. Like the same thing we said about, like, I don't care if there's a rogue when I don't really know what the game is, right? And I feel like that's kind of the issue with Blizzard as a whole is it's just like, oh, we got stuff. And it's like, well, what exactly is this stuff? And they're like, it's the stuff you want. And you're like, like, what do we want then? Tell me what it is. And
well, there's
no good answers.
I was really blown away by how just the insane lack of any risk here. So, like, their big announcement were a remake of a 20-year-old game, an expansion or, like, an update to their almost 20-year-old MMO. And the funniest part is they're also announcing an expansion to an old version of the MMO that they created 20 years ago that they already released. You know what I mean? Like, it's so self-referential and it's such a weird, like, talk about sucking your own dick, right? Like, every single franchise they have is just remaking its old self. Like, the fact they have WoW Modern and WoW Classic and they're both being updated simultaneously, like... does that mean in 20 years they're going to have WoW Classic 2, which is like the, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell is going on? It's such a strange company, and it's so, so risk-averse to anything.
I mean,
and then the only other thing that was exciting was a sequel to their only new IP in like 15 years. You know what I mean?
And it's just, not even really
it's a sequel, crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
It's literally,
yeah, we don't know what that is either.
Sort of the same. Like, so I'm looking at the announcements right now, and their Overwatch 2 details are two new maps.
Yeah.
A new game comes with two new maps.
Yeah. And a PvE mode,
some
right?
PvP changes. A hero mission mode. But if you watch the video, it just looks like you're killing bots on the maps, right? Like, it looks like it mostly takes place on the same maps. But I don't know. Like, nobody, we don't know. So
yeah, we don't know.
Right?
Again.
And then some screenshots from the campaign, whatever that means. And then hero progression. So you, like, have skill trees for the heroes now, which I guess is cool. But, you know, it's nothing, right? It's like you said, it's just the safest, like, least exciting stuff. You know, it's why I have no respect for Microsoft right now, too, right? Is because it's that same idea of, like, well, let's just keep making sequels of things people like. They'll definitely buy it, you know, like, let's not take risk. It's why Sony just seems so cool right now. It's because they're the only people really spending money to make cool, like, you know, putting their money in their mouths and making cool things that are just, like, off the wall and crazy.
Well, and even Nintendo, like, to go back to what we were saying earlier, Nintendo's, you could argue, Nintendo haters would say they're the worst at this, right? Like, they just have been making the same shit over and over. I would argue that's not true. But, again, Bowser's Fury, why I like it is that even that feels like they're still playing around. Like, they're still fucking around and they're still pushing boundaries, whether you like it or not. But Blizzard is just... the balls to announce an expansion to WoW Classic is so, like, and I understand there's value in that. I'm not demeaning WoW Classic. I don't care about it, but I do understand. I'm not demeaning the product at all. But as far as, like, purely objective, that's pretty fucking crazy that they think they can get away with, we'll just re-release an old MMO, and then now we could re-release all the expansions up to what? Like, what is their plan there? Are they just going to keep two going simultaneously forever? Like, are they going to release Mists of Pandaria Classic? You know what I mean? I just can't. It's fucking crazy. The whole thing is very surreal.
Yeah, it is surreal. It's crazy. I mean, they just, they've lost their way. You know, I think that, and you know, I just feel like that, I feel like that's just par for these old fucking studios. Like, we said it time and time again, and it's like another Elder Scrolls game, another fucking Halo game, another fucking
A WoW expansion to WoW Classic. It just trips me out. And that's not to say no good can come out of this. Like, I guess it kind of speaks to how low my expectations are, that I am genuinely excited for a Diablo 2 remaster, even though it's literally the opposite of new.
It's like, it's not the worst thing.
It's not a bad thing. And that's not to say there can't be quality that comes out of this, but god damn are they risk averse. Like, they sure aren't pushing any boundaries. They're not even close. Like, people give Ubisoft a hard time, but Ubisoft looks like, you know, an experimental indie studio compared to what Blizzard's doing right now.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, which I think brings us into the other thing I want to talk about real quick, which was
the Direct.
Yeah, the Nintendo Direct, which, again, this is a lot of the same issues. And you know me and you, I'm a huge Nintendo fanboy to the point where it's actually, like, probably not great. And this did make me think about that, because the only thing about this that I cared about, and there's other stuff we can get into, was the Zelda, I guess it's an HD update. And Nintendo's doing essentially the same thing Blizzard does, where it's like, well, we have this back catalog of Zelda games that aren't in HD. What if we just release them in HD? And that's not to minimize the amount of work that goes into that. I know that's not necessarily a simple process, but it's a lot easier than creating a new game.
Yeah, far easier.
And then the fact that they have the balls to charge $60 for this game is pretty insane.
And
then
to tell you that this is why Breath of the Wild exists, is because Skyward Sword taught us how to climb fucking walls.
And Skyward Sword, like, again, I think is a, you know, it's a good game by most standards, but it's probably my least favorite Zelda game of all. And I was just thinking about how, like, really, you couldn't even give us, like, a 3-pack?
No.
It's really just this shitty, like, not shitty. Again, I mean shitty by Zelda standards. And then the fact that they're, like, and we're putting out Zelda Joy-Cons that are $80. And someone made a tweet, which I don't think is that accurate, but it kind of summed up my feelings, which were, like, when I bought Skyward Sword on the Wii, it came with a Wii Motion Plus controller and a soundtrack and the game for $70. Or maybe it was $80. And now it's like, here's a HD remaster of a really, you know, not great 2011 or 20 whatever year it was Wii game, and separate controllers for $80. And it's like, Jesus Christ, what the value proposition there is pretty significantly diminished. And I understand Joy-Cons do a lot more than Wiimotes, and it's not really a fair comparison necessarily, but there is something there about, like, talk about risk averse. Again, Nintendo's just like, yeah, fuck it. And the fact that I was immediately like, oh, this is cool, I can't wait to play this. And I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
That's not good, man. Like, it kind of made me re-examine how, I mean, Zelda's like my favorite franchise probably of all.
Yeah, so probably mine too.
I'm such a sucker for it, to the point where I'm almost, it kind of made me question a second, like, dude, it's fine to be passionate about something, but really? Do you really want to reward this behavior, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I love Nintendo, like, to an unhealthy level.
Yeah, same. Like, like the way some people feel about Disney or Star Wars or Star... Like, I do kind of have that vibe with Nintendo, and I'm proud of it, but yeah.
My wallpaper right now is Origami Mario background from the Origami King or whatever the new Mario game was. Yeah, nice. Like, I got my passport renewed before this pandemic because I wanted to go to Super Mario World Universal Japan.
Yeah, that looks so cool.
It looks so cool. Now, we can't, because you can't go anywhere, but eventually I will make it. But yeah, I mean, Skyward Sword sucks, dude. Like, I understand it's like, oh, it's good, it's a Zelda game. It's the control so bad. Like,
yeah, which this will solve that, which is good.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, as an original game, it was not good.
It was disappointing, for sure.
No one was excited about that game. I remember seeing that game at Comic-Con before it came out, and, like, just kind of shake. No one was interested at all. Everyone's just shaking their head. Like, a new Zelda game's coming out, and everyone's just sort of shaking their head at it because the art style doesn't look good. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's subjective. A lot of people actually do like it, but I agree. I remember, and it was sort of the tail end when everyone's like, it kind of felt like where Halo is now, right? Where it's like, this is a good franchise by, you know, by most metrics. Like, obviously, they're not going to put out a bad Zelda game necessarily, but it was just like, it felt like it had lost its way. And this was kind of the last gasp of old Zelda before they got their shit together with Breath of the Wild or Resident Evil 6, right? It was kind of the same thing where everyone's like, yeah, it's still a fun game, but geez, it really feels tired and stale at this point.
That game is fucking ugly. Like, it is legitimately ugly. The world's okay, but Link looks so bad.
A lot of people like it. Like, a lot of people love the character designs. I agree with you, but that we got to recognize that is subjective.
They're wrong. I, like, literally flat out, they're wrong. If you look at Link's face and you think that that's, like, a good character design, like, maybe you like, that kind of teenage, like, heartthrobby Link, like that's the Link you like, that's your Link. That does not make Skyward Sword look good. That game looks,
a lot of people like the way it sort of looks like a oil painting, like it has kind of an interesting filter to it.
I mean, but there's good oil paintings, you know what I mean? It's not like it looks like, oh, it looks like, it looks like a, it looks like shit. Like, it just, it looks so bad. And to pretend that somehow it's like, no, it's like a style choice, it's like, that's not a style choice, it looks terrible. Like, it,
yeah, I mean, I disagree with you. I mean, I actually agree that it looks bad, but I disagree that it's, that someone couldn't, that it's objectively bad. I think that's ridiculous. It's not like it's an N64 bad game. No, it's not. Like, you can't say that. It's like being like, this is a bad painting when someone else is like, no, I really like this painting. But yeah, all that to say, like, I don't think, I doubt there's very many people who are like, no, Skyward Sword is the best Zelda game. Because you'll find someone who says about every other Zelda game, right? From Link's Awakening to fucking Twilight Princess. But I don't think there's anyone who's like, not to say it couldn't be an important game to you, or maybe it's the first one you played or something, but no one's like, no, Skyward Sword is the best Zelda game. It's, no one thinks that. And so it's a pretty, like, it's pretty hard to get excited about it. And the fact they're going to charge $60 for it is really...
Tell me these links I just posted in chat look good. All right? Tell me. It, like, it's not about the style. It's not about the... Oh, like, it's got this or that. Like, those are very ugly. Like,
yeah, I mean, I agree.
Those are low quality, very ugly, poorly styled. Like, they're styled for a time that, like, is... They're just so bad. There's just nothing redeemable about those, if you ask me.
You yeah. Know? I mean, I agree with you. I don't disagree that it's an ugly kind of looking game, but I know a lot of people do disagree.
They're wrong. That's all I'm saying, is they're wrong. That's objectively...
I think the biggest thing that stands out to me about that game was that stupid-ass boss battle that you had to do three times. That pissed me off. I was like, what? That's so anti-Zelda to, like... Remember, it was, like, this big creature that looked kind of cool, but then you had to fight it three different times? I hated that.
Yeah.
I mean... That said, though, there were still some great dungeons, and, like, the music kicks ass. The music's really good. Fee was horrible, though.
This is a bad game. I don't understand.
It's not a bad game. I mean, I guess this is what I mean. Like, if there were no Zelda games and this game came out, it would be an incredible game. It's just a bad... It's a bad by Zelda standards.
I guess. I don't know. I just think...
And the motion controls were a serious problem, but that's... You know, that was a sort of problem for a lot of games at that time. And I am glad that you can now play it with a real controller. I think that might actually help a lot.
I think Twilight Princess looks a lot better.
I agree with you.
Than that.
And that's another example. A lot of people think that game looks ugly, but I disagree. I think it looks really cool. I love the style, but I agree with you. I think objectively it's nicer to look at. But the Wii was rough. You know, there's a lot of really ugly games on the Wii.
I agree. I mean, I think that era had a lot of really ugly games too. Like, I think it was a time of strange 3D. It was like, you know, that PS1 era, we always are like, oh, it's so ugly. I feel like the Wii era was like, no, we're good at this. You know, like taking an ugly thing and like trying to master it, right? And being like, no, now we make it look nice. And it doesn't look nice. It just looks like, it looks like kind of fancy ugly, like fancy shit. Not like shit, you know?
I really wish you hadn't sent me these pictures because they're just like staring at me and I can't look away. I'm going to close Discord.
No, some people really like those, Leo. You know, I'm sure some people do. You're just telling me, some people think that looks good.
I have definitely heard people say that the like painterly style of Skyward Sword is attractive to them. I've never heard someone say like that is the best looking Link necessarily, but as far as like the art direction, as far as like the environments,
I think the environments look fine, but they always look good. Like, Zelda environments always look good, you know?
Not in Ocarina of Time, they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean,
for the time, yeah.
For the time, I would say they're not, like... They're still inspired, you know what I mean? Even for
And it's that old conversation about, like, design and art direction versus technological limitation, yeah.
You get on your fucking horse, and you're out on the plane in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is fucking captivating. You know, even though it looks so bad, it still somehow looks...
And Hyrule Field is so fucking small and empty. Like, it's so interesting playing that game again. Like, yeah.
But when you're at a kid, it looks huge and amazing. The first time you see the Deku Tree, you know, his big old face, and you're like, oh, this is incredible. It's ugly.
I think so much of that is the music, too, and just the, the everything else.
All right,
Real quick, what else was that Nintendo Direct? There was Splatoon 3. Are you excited about that?
Yeah. I mean, I am. It's in 2022. Well, I think I'll get more excited as it gets closer. I mean, I love Splatoon. I love the Squid Kids. I love the style of it all.
Yeah.
But I think I'll have to see when it... It looks like just more Splatoon, and at this point, I don't know if that's, like, enough. You know? Yeah. Because I could just play Splatoon 2 if I just wanted to, like... That game's always a bit of just sort of like, just jump in and ink some fools. You know, it's not like, it's not a lot of depth, in my opinion, to that. And so if it's like, just jump in and ink some more fools, it's like, you got to kind of give me some more, you know? Yeah,
a little bit more than that.
Yeah. So Pyra joined Smash Brothers, Pyra and Mythra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah.
So that's horny.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm into it, but. I don't think everyone would be.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. It's definitely, it does clash a bit with, like, the other people. But, yeah, that's cool. I mean, whatever. I still think Smash is neat for just kind of extending that olive branch and just be like, yeah, fuck it. Everyone's welcome. It's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, I think the thing you're seeing is it's a lot of JRPG characters, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Joker, Hero, I mean, Byleth, Cloud, Pyra, you know. It's so you're getting kind of some of these first party characters. You're getting a lot of JRPG characters. Let's see, who else? Sephiroth.
Banjo Kazooie. They're in there.
They're not JRPG, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not all JRPG characters, but mostly.
So Piranha Plant, Terry, Banjo Kazooie, and Min Min and Steve are like non JRPG characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like a good amount of games that are. You know, just popular RPGs in Japan, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And that makes a lot of sense for kind of the nature of those characters. They have Monster Hunter Rise trailer, which, you know, we all know it's coming. Mario Golf. I like these kinds of games. I don't know.
I've heard very positive things about them ever since, like, the originals back in the Game Boy Color N64 days, but I've never played any of them.
I really like Hot Shots. I think they're a better version of this, so we'll see. You know, I think it's weird in this game and something else that they're... I feel like Miis are, like, somehow sticking around, and I wish they would just fucking die, right? Like, just die. what is this?
Miis, well, just die.
It's so sad, like, a lot of these games, they didn't put the names of them on the write-up, and I'm just like, what is this game? Project Triangle Strategy is coming someday. It's like it's a triangle strategy game. Fall Guys is coming to Switch.
Yeah, that makes sense. When I heard that I was like oh, it's shocking it's not on the Switch already. Like, I can't think of a better like a better game to be on the Switch, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to realize that game's only on PlayStation and PC.
Although, again, the internet, right? Like, we'll see.
Yeah,
because that game's pretty important to have a stable connection.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it runs. I don't have a lot of faith.
That's true, right? And not a lot of... I'd be shocked if it was 60 FPS.
Yeah. Outer Wilds is coming to Switch.
That's pretty much it. I mean, there was nothing...
I'm looking at
nothing huge.
Nah, Legends of Mana.
Yeah.
Travis Touchdown's coming back.
Yeah,
Miitopia. This was the one I was looking at, where it's like a Mii RPG thing.
Yeah.
like, how are we still looking at Mii's? You know, like, that's one thing surprised about this one. It's like, more Mii's, huh?
Yeah, I guess people still like Mii's.
They're doing Super Mario and Animal Crossing, which looks pretty cool. The warp pipes, to me, were the only thing I was really that interested in, because being able to warp across your island, I think, would add a lot to customization, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Because you could, like, block off spaces. Like, you could have your airport go into, like, an enclosed space, and then you could teleport people to other parts. Some weird dodgeball game with, like, did you watch this stuff?
No.
Oh, no. Like, the trailer was, like a fake Counter-Strike character and, like, a fake, like, a bunch of, like, fake characters from other franchises being, like, a fake orc, like, a fake Warcraft orc being, like, oh, I love to play this game, you know? Like, seriously, it was the weirdest fucking thing. It's a game. It's a dodgeball game.
It was weird.
Yeah. Hades is coming. Ninja Gaiden Remaster. Yeah. And, man, that's all. What else? Some DC kids game for.
Yeah, like nothing. I guess, you know, there's some cool stuff in there. And,
after 530 days or something since their last direct, it just seems so fucking lame.
And like 500 million Switches sold since then.
It's just, there's these franchises we like want to hear about, right? Breath of the Wild 2, Metroid. Yeah. You know, like, where are these games? Bayonetta, where is it? You know, like, what's happening? But
yeah, that's kind of the running theme for this episode, right? Is like, where is everything?
Where is it? And you know, you can blame the pandemic, but like 500 days ago when Nintendo last had an announcement, there was no pandemic, right? Like, what's happened since then?
Yeah, games have come out.
Yeah, games have come out. Things are happening. Although I did hear a thing where they're saying Nintendo kind of got hit, I guess, like worse with the pandemic only because they're so like old fashioned and secretive that like they won't let anybody work from home. They like, you know, they're very strict about their policy and like information getting out. And so it's really hard for them or like their employees to like get things done during this period.
Yeah. It's funny. Well, fuck them. Like that's what they get for being old fashioned.
That's why I say fuck them.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here, Leo?
I know we're running a little long, but there's one last thing I wanted to mention, and for those of you on the emulation scene, you may have already seen, but they finally released the ROM hack of Animal, what is it called? Dinosaur Planet, which is was this unreleased Rare game on the N64 that got turned into Star Fox Adventures, which is also a very forgotten game, rightfully so. But I just am really interested after the Xbox, or after the GoldenEye XBLA leak, and this leak, I just love this kind of shit. I love the idea that we're finally getting to play these games that were like, you know, 90% done or almost, you know, almost 100% done in the case of GoldenEye. And the fact that we're finally getting to play them is so fun. Like, I love downloading these ROMs, and obviously I'm not going to play all the way through them. But there's just something so cool about, like, getting to play kind of a forgotten piece of history. So if you're interested in emulation and you have any interest in Rare or sort of the history of Rare 3D platformers, yeah, look it up. It's pretty easy to find, and you can run it in most emulators. It's far from perfect, but it's just, it's a neat thing, and it's cool seeing all this stuff burst onto the scene this last year.
Bursting onto the scene. Emulation.
Yep.
I love a good ROM, you know. That's what they always say about me.
Yeah, they say, Tony, that Tony, he loves a good ROM.
That's the word on the streets, you know. All right. Well, Dad, let's get out of here and call it a week.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. TechYapPodcast@gmail.com. TechYapPodcast on Twitter and Facebook.
Let us know your thoughts on Skyward Sword and the beautiful links.
If you like Skyward Sword's art, email me for sure. Because I want to put you on a list. All right.
I want to put you on blast.
Yeah, put you on blast. Or tweet at me. Send me those screenshots. Those Skyward Sword.
That would actually be cool. Send us your favorite beautiful Skyward Sword screenshot.
Yeah, so I can fucking puke. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. Really do appreciate your time. Go play some games.